Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Well, welcome to Speaking of Reliability. And Adam, I see you've got your ready to go, and you've been working on a variety of things. What's new today?
Oh, hey, Fred. It's kind of fun. I saw something recently that, you know, really highlighted actually an experience I had a while back. And what I've noticed is with a lot of companies, both technology and not really deep technology companies, how much reliability, quality, durability have become the center of their marketing campaigns. Even to the point where it's not only highlighted, it's the only part that they're, you know, kind of communicating in these short opportunities they have to get an audience. I mean, you've probably seen that a lot too.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's not necessarily new yet. I agree with you. You see it more and more now, between cars and trucks and phones. I've run into examples from the 50s and 60s of tractors. Caterpillar has long been known for not only its their durability of their road grading equipment and so on, but their speed of maintenance. They have spares stationed all over the world. So it's not a new concept to lead with reliability, yet in consumer products, that hasn't been right in our face very often until very
recently.
But
I see the surge now. I see a big surge now. Right, exactly. Like things like tractors or even like that old American Tourister luggage in the 70s?
Was that the gorilla?
Like throwing it around the cage. And it was a picture of a gorilla with a cab driver hat on, and he's like stomping on it behind a cab, you know?
That's right.
So, I mean, those products like tractors and suitcases, that was always the centerpiece, right? You know, you aren't selling a tractor based on the cup holders and whatever. You got a farmer. All he cares about is getting things planted before it rains or whatever.
It's got to work.
But the shift is so interesting is like it feels like there's a big surge recently. Like I was watching Good Morning America and Motorola has come out with a new phone that they're very excited about. I see it all over the place. The only thing they talked about on this, what must have been a very expensive blurb on Good Morning America, was they went out into the street and they dropped it from 6 feet on the concrete. And then they dropped it from 10 feet on the concrete and showed it didn't break and the screen didn't crack. That's the only thing they mentioned. They didn't mention a single feature ad. They didn't mention a cool new function. That was it. And it kind of shows this maturity in the phone, the phone technologies, to where the feature increments are kind of slower now. They're not as big. You know, it's not like when you had a flip phone and all of a sudden the iPhone came out and it's like, oh my God, you know,
right.
A touchscreen. It's really about like, I'm going to be really mad if I'm trying to get somewhere and my phone stops working. Like I don't keep maps in my car anymore. Like it's not a joke. I will be lost. I probably don't remember the address that I put in, to be honest with you, phone shuts off.
Oh, that's right.
Because it's stranded.
It's in the contacts list or it's in the calendar or whatever.
It's no joke. Yeah, it's no joke. I mean, so it's interesting, you know, just how much I see it everywhere now. And I, you know, other ones are like, you know, Ford. And I know it's kind of equipment, but their entire campaign with their trucks is they use the word military grade and, you know, high strength alloys, and they hang their truck from, you know, I saw an advertisement where they hung the whole truck from the ceiling with one bolt. And they said that there's 8 of these bolts that hold the bed to the frame. You know, like that's
right.
How they spent their money and time. And another one that surprised me was Sonicare toothbrushes. They just launched a whole sequence of videos only showing how they reliability test their toothbrushes. And I'm like, wow, that's, you know, I mean, your toothbrush break. I mean, when your Sonicare toothbrush breaks, all you've done has been rolled back to where you have to move your hand, you know, like the way you used to use a toothbrush. It in no way leaves you stranded, right? It's
right.
Not like it ruins your day. Like it doesn't.
Well,
it's
don't
not
tell
that,
that
big
to,
a deal.
You know, don't tell that to my wife. She, it's not a good day if it does, if that brush isn't available and working. So we travel with it, you know.
Right. Yeah, but if the battery runs out, it's like, oh no, I can just brush my teeth, you know. But you know, but even that, you know, they're that's what they're advertising. So I feel like it's one of those things that is very important to communicate to customers and for different companies to really stop and think about this shift for where reliability is not a feature you list on your program objectives. It actually is what initiates a next generation product.
Well,
that's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it's one of those things that. just about every industry works towards becoming essential for their customers. We want, I mean, when the first cell phones came out, the big brick looking things, they were really just proof of concept and a novelty. And it wasn't the only way people communicated. Whereas now, like you said, it's essential. It is where I store the address, the phone number, the contact list, the directions. It's where I look for information. It's replaced so many other functions that I rely on that now I have to rely on the phone. And industry after industry goes through that transformation. And you're exactly right, is at some point a company has to understand that the product is shifted from just being early adopters and a neat, cool little WYSIWYG feature, you know, kind of thing, to it's mandatory. It just has to work. And when they do that, then in my experience is those companies then shift the product generation from, yeah, we might add some features or nuances and continue to improve it, but that becomes subset or of the primary action of making it durable, of making it just work, so reduce warranty cost, if nothing else. But if focusing on what the customers are saying about the product is essential.
Yeah. It's, you know, that, and one thing that I would advise and is interesting, and I got to participate in this, is I was working with a company and they took the time and money to list out a lot of factors in deciding to purchase a product similar to theirs. And they asked their customers to prioritize them. And one was reliability. One, of course, was features. And they listed some specific features that associated their product. Others were like appearance and how long it lasts and, you know, all kinds of things. And they got that survey back. And, you know, reliability was right there at the top. I mean, they were actually kind of surprised to find out that they, you know, that customers were really willing to forego new features entirely just for a more reliable one. They realized they could get more market share.
I've seen that in medical devices. I've seen it in cameras. I've seen it in routers and server equipment. I've seen, when I was with HP, they regularly did those kinds of surveys, and reliability was a dominant factor in purchase decisions over and over and over again.
Yeah, so here's what I saw as I was thinking about, okay, that's really neat. They did it. They reviewed it in a meeting. And I kind of had that sinking feeling like, is this going to change anything they do? Or did they just like, interesting. So I advised this, and they did it, which was great. I said, why don't you do that same poll inside your company? Why don't you do it with quality, with marketing, with sales, with engineering, with service? Give them that exact same poll and look at it inside what the results are. And they were astonished to see that effectively the results were completely inverted from what the customers.
Well, they got a couple of them right in the middle then.
Exactly. Always the optimist, Fred, right? that's not the point I made to them. But, you know, but that was where it sunk in, and they really got to see, because, you know, the benefit and the value of this. And what it actually ended up doing is they ended up really realizing that in their next iteration of product, it actually did, that customer survey kind of really did make it in how they prioritized what they were doing. And it also changed some of their internal practices, because they realized that, you know, as an individual, let's say an R&D engineer, you never consider, you know, a lot of cases you don't consider yourself ranked on reliability. You're an engineer. You're excited about inventing the next cool feature, right?
The feature or time to market. We see that a lot, or cost.
Yeah. Yeah, like marketing might push that, and project management, and, you know, everybody has their little piece that they're, you know, that to them is most important. But where's that bigger picture synchronizing you with the customer? And that's, you know, that's what's going to grab that next level of market share. And I advise, if people are taking the time and money to do the external, you know, surveys, take that same survey and do it inside your company and see how well synchronized your employees are with your customers' needs.
Well, I mean, the quality world has been long advocating the voice of the customer and quality functional deployment, which is a horrible acronym. I think it has some Asian, I think Japanese origination or something. But the idea is that the customers should be setting your priorities for what features and functions that you develop. so that when you create a product that actually meets what they expected. And reliability is often given a lot of lip service of, oh, it's important. Yeah, we understand it from our customers. Yeah. I even had one general manager say, well, customers always complain. That's just what they do. And I'm like, well, let's think about this a minute. You know, what does it cost them when it fails? How integral into their operation or into their life is this product? It's not just the hassle of doing a warranty, like the dropping the phone thing. If the phone drops and breaks, to a large extent, we're pretty stranded. If I walked up to a payphone or borrowed somebody else's cell phone, and if I didn't have my contacts list, I wouldn't know my own home number.
Yeah.
It'd be really hard. My wife ran into that. She was up in San Francisco with her brother-in-law, and they were running some errands and doing stuff and got in a car accident, and the car needed to be towed. And so she called her insurance company, and they did not give her a phone number for a tow service. They said, we don't recommend a particular tow service, but you can. And she didn't have the AAA number handy or a card handy at that time. And she's in a foreign city. It's not like there's a phone book on every corner anymore. And she walked into like a bagel shop and asked them and if they had a phone book so she could look up Yellow Pages, whatever. And somebody finally just said, well, here's my smartphone. Why don't you look it up on there?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's as a reliability engineer, we're often becoming that voice of the customer for the importance of reliability. And we understand that it's in context for lots of other things, time to market, cost, feature set, functionality, and markets do change. Yet, if you've got a customer service organization or a marketing part of your organization, it's worth going to talk to them. They may have already done the survey that you've talked about, Adam, and it gives you an insight and some credibility when you go back to your team and say, hey, this really is important. We got to fix this particular issue or whatever our particular work at that time is. And it's that out of sync piece that is relatively common. Organizations grow up as crafting a cool new widget or a startup company that crafts a new feature or product that gets the early adopters. But as the product matures, as that industry matures, and it becomes an integral part of people's operations and day-to-day work, then reliability and quality really start to accelerate in the requirements. And it's catching that shift, and as a reliability professional, then knowing what to do about it, I think are the two key parts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when do you have time to watch Good Morning America?
Early in the morning. Actually, it's like one of my wife's favorite shows. To be honest with you, I hope she doesn't hear this, but I hate those shows. I feel like when I walk away, I've been like pandered to at like the 10-year-old level. You know what I mean? Like it's just, but I do indulge in the fact that we can sit down, have a cup of coffee and kind of get going for the day, watching something, and she does watch it. And apparently I got something from it and, you know, learned something. So there you go. So my criticism of Good Morning America just got thrown out.
That's right. That's right. And they were even talking about reliability. Now, the day will come when Good Morning America is interviewing reliability professionals.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
I think you and I are the guys to try and pull that off. I'll start working on it.
There we go. We can work on it. All right. Yeah. Well, let's wrap it up here. This is an interesting topic, and appreciate it, Adam. I think just paying attention to what customers are saying, whether it's through the commercials of our competitors or directly customers complaining about our product or making requests, it ties into what we do as reliability engineers. So thanks for bringing that topic up. All right. Well, this is Ben speaking of reliability. And like I say in most of these episodes, it's really aimed at having this conversation with you, our listeners. So take a look at our site, the different show pages, and comments and reviews on LinkedIn or on I'm drawing a complete blank, iTunes, or Stitcher, or whichever platform you're listening to, or send us a direct message. Visit reliability.fm, and you can find the Speaking of Reliability show, and send us a direct message that way. We'd really like to hear from you. So once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.